Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, I come.
Amen. I see one caller on the line with myself, and I'm going to pray as I open the line. Loving Father, as I reflect on your goodness, I am not worthy. I reflect on your kiss every morning. I reflect on your sunshine and your rain that rises us to a new hope and a new life. And so as I come to you this afternoon, I just want to thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your awesome love that keeps us. I do ask that you will forgive us of our sins, for they are many. I do ask that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I plead with you for a heart of obedience and a heart filled with love towards you and our fellow men. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would take control of this line and let your Holy Spirit have full reign in our hearts and in our minds. I continue to pray for each one that would come on the line to hear your words and to be filled by your Spirit. I just thank you that wheresoever you said, wheresoever two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst to bless. So we just want your name to be lifted up, not man's opinion, not man's thought, but you, Lord, your word. So take control of each one of us even now and help us to rely and depend upon you. Thank you for this awesome privilege you have given us through life, that we could bring our life in harmony with your will. Thank you for the molding and the shaping of your Holy Spirit. You being the potter, we are the clay. Thank you for demonstrating your love through trials by molding and shaping us into the instrument that you'd have us to be. And now, dear Lord, continue to be with us even now as I pray, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would like to read, and then I would place a couple of hymns, but I would like to read. Today is our health spotlight, and I do want to ask for your forgiveness because last Thursday I forgot, and I remembered coming home, and then it went out of my head completely. I was so tired looking to sleep, but the Lord kept it on my mind. I even touched base with Sister Carla, and so I just ask that we continue to pray one for the other. Because we recognize that we are in a warfare, and the battle is not carnal, it's spiritual, and Satan is thriving every which way to cause us to lose our crown, to lose our relationship with Christ, and to indeed inherit the kingdom of heaven. But we have to be purposeful, we have to be mindful, and we have to set our affection on Christ and things above, so that our hearts will not deviate or not be distracted by the things of this earth. And I see the Lord doing a boldness, giving me a boldness within my spirit to keep me thus stapled on him. So we'll just pray for one another. Let us continue to encourage each other. Let us continue to look unto Christ, the man Christ Jesus, for who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Continue to pray for Brother Yudi and Melissa. I spoke with him within this week. They had earthquakes over there. He was coming on his travel. Well, he was going to catch a plane in the Philippines, and the earthquake, there was some damage to the airport, and they couldn't travel, so he's traveling out next Monday. So keep them in prayer. I know he doesn't mind. He's there because he gets to stay another week with his wife. So I know he and his son. So I know he thank God for how he's worked. But just we ask that God will continue to keep them safe. And I want to read from Genesis 1 and from 24 to 31. And then I'm going to read from Philippians. Philippians, tired. It says, and loving Father, we just ask that we will humble ourselves to the power of your word. And allow your word to shape us and mold us. We recognize obedience bring the blessing. So help us, Lord, to be obedient with true love unto you, Lord. So you could bless us. You could say, you see my servant, they pleased me well. You never say you are proud of anybody. You said they pleased me well. And so, Lord, we want to please you. And so have thine own way in our hearts. Grant us that childlike affection and childlike state, mindset, so that your name could be ever lifted up in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb, talking about us now, he has given us every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. So in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. So the fruit of the tree yielding seed, it shall be food unto us, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything they had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning, what an awesome God we have that prepares, that provides for us. Some of us, we prepare after the fact, but there are many who prepare before. They take the pattern of God. And they prepared before the children come, they prepare. So it is God prepared before we came on this earth. He prepared everything, and it was good. It was very good. And so in order to get back to that very good, we must return unto him and depend upon him. And he will turn, he will, as he said in Isaiah 40, he will make our crooked path straight. If you want your crooked path to be straight, turn on to God. Flee from evil and turn on to God. Amen. And let me, so I see someone wanting to join with me in worship. So give me 1 second. And I want to read for you. Philippians. I want to read for you Philippians 4, 2 things. Philippians 3, 17 to 21. And it says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have as us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. So Paul was not glorifying when he spoke about these individuals. He was weeping. He didn't even just say crying. He was weeping. We know what weeping is. It's with a deep sorrow. He says, weeping. Now many walk of whom I have told you often and now let and tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They once knew God and they were walking with God, but for the deceitfulness within their heart, they turned from God and they became the enemies of the cross of Christ. Let none of us pray hard that none of us, myself included, become enemies of the cross of Christ, but that we draw nearer and we begin to look like Christ in every aspect of our lives. It says, whose end is destruction? You know, anytime you turn away from God, it is destruction. Who God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Their mind is not on Christ. Their minds are on earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, sinful body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And now Philippians 4 from verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and this is a counsel for us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, so there's things that they may look okay, but they may not have any virtue. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Not might be with you, but shall be with you. Amen. And I'm going to open the line of 857-505. Please give me your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Sister Deborah. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you, Brother Eli. How are you?
I'm good by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise
I like to thank God, Sister Deborah, because God is good. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised. I like to thank God because He is good. He's awesome. He's the Alpha and Omega. There was no one else like Him. Like Him. I want to say hallelujah, hallelujah. I have a prayer request, Sister Deborah. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Deborah. Don't forget to lift up Brother Jehari in prayer, because Brother Jehari needs a lot of prayer, Sister Deborah, because Brother Jehari is on this prayer line, and he's listening at this moment. So please, please tell him to push number one, Sister Deborah, because he's on the prayer line. Brother Jehari, he might push number one. So can you tell Jehari, welcome on the prayer line, encourage him at the moment, because God is good for him. God will break every chain for him. God will give him the victory. God will give him deliverance at this moment. Whether Jehari is going through, God will give him the strength. God will give him deliverance in the name of Jesus. Jehari will feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. If Brother Jehari is on the line, yes, press one. Because God is a God of love. He's a God of deliverance. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of justice. And when we come to him, he, no matter what part of life we play, no matter what we have done, he doesn't hold us against us. All he wants us to do is come, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have gone contrary one time or the other. And just as Israel of old, we need to seek him. And in seeking him, we will indeed be transformed. He promises, and he's not a God. He's not like man who will go back on his word, but he is faithful. And, you know, he has expressed that he loves us. Okay. Thank you, Brother Eli, for that. I will indeed lift up your mom and Brother Jehari as we enter into a season of prayer. I just want to sing one, not me sing, but have one song, and then we can go into a little prayer. We'll go into prayer. Just find the song that I want. Let me find the song. Come down, Father. Create me. Let's play this one.
Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Should be the prayer of our heart continually. Create in me a clean heart. O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's take one more song, and then we will go into a season of prayer. Okay. That's the power that we speak here. So that we have to have the character of Christ in order that we may see face to face. Not right now, we need to be cultivating. So may God help us to thoroughly turn from our wicked ways and that we may develop the mind and the character of Christ. When you read Matthew 5, you know, it tells us the characteristics of Christ. May God help us. We encourage Christians in Christian. May God help us to indeed submit ourselves so that He will continue to overshine us, to reflect, and we may glorify Him. And so, loving Father, tonight we come, unworthy though we be, but we humble ourselves before your throne tonight. We ask, Father, that you may continue to wash us and cleanse us from all sin and iniquity. We pray, Lord, for a true heart of conversion, that our minds and affections will be set on you and things above. Pray, Father, for the joy of the Lord to continue to be our strength. Pray, Lord, that you will continue to forgive us, and as you forgive us, that we will not turn again to our wicked ways, but flee from it, to hate sin and to love righteousness. Continue to pray, Brother Eli, and forward continue to pray for Brother Eli, and especially that he will always continue to trust you. That he will be dear Father, that he may continue to lift you up. You said, Lord, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you. And so unto you, Lord, all men will be drawn unto you, Brother Eli, continue to lift you up. Continue to strengthen him, continue to pour your love upon him, continue to allow him to be used mightily in the palm of your hand. We pray for his mom and especially dear God, to continue to strengthen her, grant her the peace that passes all understanding. Help her, dear Lord, to trust you in all her endeavors, but not to the left, to the right, not to the left, but as in Isaiah 30 and 21 states, Lord, she shall hear, hear behind us, saying, this is the way of walking in it. To the left, she will say to your no voice, and that she will follow. Pray for Brother Jahari, dear Father. You know, Brother Eli is always calling for prayer for Brother Jahari. I pray, Lord, that he will continue to turn his eyes upon you. It doesn't matter what he may be going through or what is done. The Lord, you are able to succor him unto you. You are able to take him to. You are able to comfort you. You are able to make his crooked path straight. You are able to grant him peace in the midst of the storm. You are able to direct him in every part of his life. So I pray today, Lord, that he may turn from his ways, evil ways, which we all have, and turn on to thee, O Lord, that he may trust you, though he can't trace you. That he may learn how to depend upon you and abide in you and allow you to live out your life within him. We thank you for the prayers of Brother Eli on his behalf. And we know it, Lord, that where the enemy may come in a storm, come in like a storm, you are able to lift up a standard against him. We continue to pray for this prayer line, Father. We recognize that you have called this prayer line into existence for your cause and for your will. We pray for those who are the main operators of the prayer line. We lift up Brother Udi and his wife. We lift up Sister Paul. We lift up Sister Carla. We lift up we lift her up in a special way. And we lift up many others, Lord. And I pray, Father, for each and every one, that you may continue to draw them closer. I pray, Lord, I know you are drawing, but I pray, Lord, that they may follow you wheresoever you go, that they may speak after you with a great hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they would allow you to filter their lives and cause you to know you, whom to know is life eternal. I pray in a special way for the camp meeting that is coming up in the near future, in July. I pray for the speaker that will come. I pray, Lord, the funds will be available. I pray, as you already have the grounds, but I pray, Lord, that a blessing will fall upon that ground, Lord, that many may come to know you, many may come to shed the old man and leave it there, and indeed go forward with the new man. I pray in a special way, dear God, that that tent meeting will bring revival and reformation like never before. I pray in a special way, loving Father, that you'll continue to strengthen each and every person on this prayer line. I pray, loving Father, that you continue to be with Brother Udi and his wife. You know the earthquake that was going on over there. I pray, Lord, that it has stopped. I pray, Lord, that he will be able to get back safely. Pray for his wife that she stays behind, that he will be able to go home. I pray for Sister Daphne and Brother Badgy, husband and wife, and new baby on arrival, and the rest of children. I pray you continue to be with them. I pray, dear Lord, I know you will be with them, but that they will not let go of your hand. I pray for Brother Richardson. I pray for Brother Eugene. I pray, Father, for all those who you have used mightily on this line. I pray, Lord, that each one will be touched by your Spirit today to let go of self and to honor you in every step of the way. And dear Father, I pray for the one who will speak and break the bread of life, that it will be poured out, and we will listen, we will glean, and each one of us, you will meet our hearts, our souls, and whatever is causing malaise, it will be destroyed in the name of Jesus, so that your Spirit can bring forth fresh fruit unto your glorification. Dear loving Father, have thine own way, be with Sister Vicky and Anthony in a special way, and we can bless them. Pray for Brother Abraham, little Abraham, pray for him in a special way, that we will deliver him from all the onslaught of the enemy. I pray for my children in a special way, as you have given me the confidence, the faith to know that you have heard and you will deliver in your time. I thank you for what you are about to do. And by faith, Lord, I trust you. You have also come for me to wait upon you in every aspect of my life. And so, Lord, I determine to wait and trust. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your soon coming King. But not only being our soon coming King, you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're a friend that whatever we bring to you, you will in no wise cast us out. As we bring ourselves, you will be able to take us and mold us and fashion us. You are the mighty carpenter to continue to work upon our lives as we submit it to you. We cannot even do that, but we ask you to take it. Have thine own way, I pray. In Jesus' name, as I pray with thanksgiving, amen and amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to play one more song, and then I'm going to go. And then we go right into the message. What is Sin? Part 1 by Randy Skeet. May you be blessed, and may your spirit continue to join force with Christ. becoming ever stronger than ever before. May he become your soul companion, that no matter what comes your way, you are indeed in the bosom of your friend, Christ Jesus. Hold fast, hold strong, and be determined to see him when he comes. This is my prayer for you and myself. As you listen, be blessed.
Our subject for today, what is sin? And there isn't a person under the sun, I would suspect, certainly not in the Western Hemisphere, who is not familiar with the word sin. And our subject is, what is sin? Let us bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus to come very close to us in the person of your Holy Spirit. Please open our minds, enlighten our understanding, sharpen our intellects, and break down the Jericho walls of opposition to truth that you may find surrounding any heart. Father, capture every living soul in this place and save us when you come. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, in verse 31 of chapter 1, the Bible says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That included man and woman. God pronounced his creation very good. Now, we know that when Adam was made sinless. Sinless. Despite the fact that Adam was made sinless, God did not make that condition permanent simply on the basis of the fact that Adam was made sinless. Now, I want you to follow me very closely. This is a most serious subject we're discussing. What is sin? Despite the fact that Adam was made sinless, he had a sinless nature. He did not have a character. Characters are not created the same way Adam was created. Characters are developed. Let me pause and say that again. In contemplating what is sin, we have to understand that nature is something we don't choose. Adam did not choose that sinless nature. He opened his eyes and he had it. That is not an expression of a free moral agent. But God needed to put Adam in a position where he now could exercise his free moral agency and choose whether to remain or retain that sinless nature or to choose contrary to God's will for him. God waited to see how Adam would choose, how this man with a sinless nature would choose, and so initiate the process of developing a character. You and I were born with a certain nature. It is a nature that leans towards sin. It is a nature that, if not controlled, would sin interminably. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In the same book, chapter 13, verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good who are accustomed to do evil. Those two texts combine, and then we add the third verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's the way we are born, with a nature leaning away from God. But that nature itself is not a conscious choice we make. I must stress this. seriously because it is fundamental to understanding sin. God does not judge me based on what I inherited through the genetic stream. He judges me based on the decisions that I make. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's observe that Genesis is the book where we find the definitions of all fundamental concepts within the context of salvation and the life of the child of God. We learn, for instance, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. We learn from that that God's word is absolutely reliable. Whatever God says comes to pass exactly as he says it. And so the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's God's word. Whether creating a world or creating righteousness in you and me, whatever God does, he does it through his word. We learn from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We learn that a marriage is a man and a woman. One man, one woman, not one man and one man, or one woman and one woman, one man, one woman. We learn the definition of a marriage in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man which he had formed and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We understand that people should have something to do with their time. They ought to work. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But freedom has restrictions. That's a difficult concept to swallow in a nation where we feel we have the freedom to do whatever we like. But for perfect people, God put restrictions. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We discover that God places limitations even on sinless people. How much more limitations on sinful people? Let's look at verses 16, 17 again of Genesis chapter 2 in the light of our subject, what is sin? God is giving Adam information. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. This is clear, indisputable, crystal clear information. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we have in these two verses, or verse 17, the great law of cause and effect. For those of you who are not Seventh-day Adventists, I want to recommend an author to you that will fascinate you more than John Grisham, Michael Crichton or Crichton, whatever his name is, or Stephen King, or Shakespeare, or any other of those writers, or Ernest Hemingway, or William Faulkner, or Virginia Woolf. I recommend to you a woman called Ellen G. White. No recommendation. And she has written some books. If you read them, you will sit back in consternation and wonder, how is it a woman with little or no education can write with such profundity? She wrote a book called Patriarchs and Prophets, which deals with this subject. I urge you to get it. If you have Seventh-day Adventist friends, they should fall over themselves to get you a copy at no cost to yourself. Here's what she said. I don't recall precisely what book. She said to parents, when raising your children, teach them the reason from cause to effect. Now, what is cause to effect? Simply action and consequence. People need to learn that for every action, you scientists finish it for me, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It is a biblical principle. In the day thou eatest thereof, that's the action, thou shalt surely die, that's the opposite and equal reaction, perhaps far more devastating than the action itself. Cause and effect. Listen to me. Let me digress briefly at 22 minutes after 12. Cause and effect operates in all areas of life. It is a principle that functions in the cosmos from one end of this unfenced universe to the next. If you study hard and in an organized way, you will get academic results. If you pray, you will go strong. If you earnestly study God's word, you will lose your taste for the things of this world. You will develop a refined taste for spiritual things. If you keep yourself according to the will of God, your influence will be wholesome on those who operate in your sphere of influence. There is an effect for every cause. God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What God gave to Adam was plain and simple information with which and on the basis of which to make a choice. Now, animals have no moral structure. Even though physiologically, animals and we are virtually the same thing. The Bible says, the life in us is the life in an animal. Ecclesiastes 3:19, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. Genesis 2:7 we read, at the beginning of this presentation, what is sin? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air. Same way. Ecclesiastes 3:20, all are of the dust. All return to dust again. The same verse says, all go unto one place. At a physical, physiological, non-moral level, there is no difference between me and a cow. When I die, I decompose. When that cow dies, it decomposes, whether in the ground or in my stomach. Decomposition takes place. But God made human beings with something the animals do not have. And that is the capacity to make moral choices. And a moral choice is not necessarily a reflex action. It is a conscious activity of the will. And so God said to Adam, if you eat this, if you choose to eat it in the light of this information clearly given to you, if you make that choice, that is the consequence. Sin will occur as a result of your choice. And so Genesis tells us that sin is a choice. Now you may say, what about sins of ignorance? I'll come to them. Let's jump from Genesis 2. Genesis 20. As we continue, what is sin? 26 minutes after 12. Hope you're enjoying the food. Judging by the aroma assailing my nostrils, I assume it is good. Is it good? I'm glad. You know, food is important. In Genesis 2:9, the Bible says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. It has to look good. And good for food. So food is important. Even when we are in heaven and are immortal, cannot die, we still eat from the tree of life. 12 manner of fruit, Genesis 22, verse 2. 12 manner of fruit. So eating is important, but also remember the Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, what should we do? Yes, do all to the glory of God. Have you found Genesis 20? Reading from verse 1 as we continue, what is sin? And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother. Then Abimelech said, in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said to him in a dream, yea, I know thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Let us review that passage, Genesis 21-7. Abraham sojourns in Gerar, the land of the Philistines. He had already had an experience with Pharaoh in Genesis 12 when Pharaoh took Sarah. Pharaoh heard that Sarah was his sister. Abraham did the same thing in Genesis 12. He did it in Genesis 20. And by the way, Isaac, his brother, did it in Genesis 26. Like father, like son. When Abimelech heard that this uncommonly beautiful woman was not married, based on what Abraham said, this is all the information Abimelech had. We're talking about what is sin. Abimelech's information was, Sarah is Abraham's sister. Therefore, I can take her and make her my wife. And he did, verse 2. But even though he sinned ignorantly, not by conscious choice, by that I mean not by willful violation of clearly known information, such as Adam had, but he still sinned. But God understood he sinned in ignorance. That's why he pleaded his case. In verse 5, said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. And now he pleads his innocence in the integrity of my heart. I meant no harm. I thought I was doing right. Based on what I knew, I made a decision. And the innocency of my hands, it is possible to sin in the integrity of your heart. Yes. But God wants you to know you're wrong, even though it was done innocently. And God responded as fairly as God always does. He said, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. God said, I know. You didn't know. I know that. Now I have brought you additional information. That woman is that man's wife. Now you know. Now choose again Abimelech. And in verse 14, Abimelech let her go. Now he knew. And the sin he committed ignorantly could now no longer be a sin of ignorance, because now he knows. For sin to count against you, which is another way of saying for sin to incur guilt. You see, where there's no guilt, there's no condemnation. Now, I didn't say where there's no guilt, there's no sin. Because if a little baby comes to your house, brought by the parents, and the parents are happy and rejoicing in their five-month-old child, and the child crawls across the living room floor, pulls down your tablecloth, breaks the precious thing you had there, can you call the police? No. Not to arrest that child, but is your vase or your vase broken? Yes. But you charge that child with guilt? No. So while Abimelech sinned in ignorance, he still sinned, but it was not charged against him while he was ignorant. So God came to relieve him of his ignorance, because God does not desire that we sin even in ignorance. Because ignorant sins still hurt. If you don't know that sulfuric acid is dangerous and you start drinking it, your ignorance will not save you. Ignorance is not protection from harm. Ignorance keeps away guilt. But God does everything in his divine power to open our eyes to the fact that what you have been doing in ignorance has been hurting me. I have not charged you with guilt, but now you know if you continue, you're guilty. Some people say, well, I never knew Saturday was the Sabbath. But when you find out and you still refuse to observe it according to God's unchanging law, you can no longer plead ignorance. When I was in Uganda last year, I was counseling a couple. I would counsel 9 to 12. The crusade was in the evening. And this couple came from, I won't say from where, because this state may go all over the world, so I have to be careful. But this couple came to me, young couple. And the little girl, the wife, 18 years old, the boy, well, not a boy, the man, 25, 24. And always smiling, he was as black as night and his teeth like milk. When he smiled, you almost needed to put on dark glasses. And he was telling us his wife is giving him trouble. So we said, well, what do you mean trouble? Well, she won't listen to me. We said, well, myself and the local pastor, do you talk to her? He said, I try, but it doesn't work. He said, so I beat her. So we said, no, 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 no. And he smiled when he said it. We said, no, 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 no. Don't beat your wife. You may prayerfully beat your child, and don't do it often, but you don't beat your wife. He said, oh. We said, turn and tell her, because she couldn't speak English, and he just barely spoke it. Tell her you're sorry for beating her, and without hesitation, he turned with the same milk-white smile and told his wife in an interesting language that he was sorry, and then the wife smiled. Then he turned back to us for further instruction. We said, tell her you will not do it again. He turned back with the undying smile on his charcoal face, and he told her, I will not beat you again. And she smiled again, and he turned back for more instruction. We said, tell her you love her. And he turned around, said whatever he said, and she smiled, only the kind of smile that can be elicited by the statement, I love you. And he turned back for more instructions, and then we just smiled. He received new light. You don't beat your wife. And instantaneously, he repented and he told her, I will beat you no more. I will talk, I will pray, or I will come and report you to the pastors. When light comes our way, our best choice is to accept it immediately, because light is life. What is sin? Sin is a conscious decision to violate God's clear counsel to us. Sin is a willful, knowing, conscious decision to go contrary to very clear information from God. Let's hear what Jesus has to say. 25 to 1. We have 15 minutes. In John chapter 15, reading from verse 18, just to get the connection, Jesus said, if the world hate you, ye know it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. And all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. If I had not come and delivered God's instruction, as it were, from the horse's mouth, if I had not told them, I could not have charged them with sin. But now they have no cloak for their sins. Skip verse 23, go to 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. Jesus saying, by words I have spoken, and by deeds I have done, I have provided information for them to choose wisely. And the wisest choice is always that choice that is in conformity with the will of God. If I had not told them, they had not had sin, says Jesus Christ. Sin that counts against you. Let me repeat that differently. Sin that incurs guilt. is that sin that is a result of a conscious choice to go contrary to God's word. A sin of ignorance is still a sin. But God is so merciful. When God knows that you truly do not know, no guilt is charged to you. But there's still a sin. Now, what do I mean by a sin of ignorance? Let me define that. A sin of ignorance must have two components to it. Listen carefully. One, I did not know. Two, I had no way of knowing. It is on component number two that most of the world will stand guilty before God, because, let me restrict that to the United States, Western Hemisphere. Running over the place with preachers and religious programs on television and Bibles and all kinds of avenues for getting into contact with God's will and His Word. A person in the Western Hemisphere has a very, very thin justification for saying, I had no possible way of knowing. Now you can possibly say that in China. Not the United States. Not Europe, not Australia, or any other so-called westernized country. There are abundant opportunities to know. And so a sin of ignorance requires two things to fly with God. One, I did not know. Two, I had no way of knowing. Which one of you seated before me can say to God, I had no way of knowing, thou shalt not kill? Which one of us can say, I had no way of knowing the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God? Which one of us can say, I had no way of knowing that one man should marry one woman? Sin is the reason why some of us are sick. Wait a minute, don't lose your love for me yet. Let me explain that. We're sick because of sin we have committed, or because of sin someone else has committed. That's what I mean. Some people have a battle with alcohol because it has come down through the family. Of course, that dark family heritage does not constitute a compelling reason for you to choose to drink. No genetic inheritance can put a gun to your head and tell you, you must drink, or you must smoke, or you must rob. I read an article in Time, I believe it was, where there's some gene for adultery. People must commit adultery. Oh, no. It all comes down to, how do I choose in the light of information sin? The Bible defines sin, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now let me say something bold and startling. That is the only definition of sin. Now you may read Proverbs 24:9 and tell me, well, Pastor, Proverbs 24:9 says, the thought of foolishness is sin. That's not necessarily a definition. That's an example. Are you with me? There are ways to define. You can define classically, or you can define by example. What is a vehicle? Well, a definition by example is, a vehicle is a car. That's an example. What is an athlete? An athlete is a basketball player. That's example. A definition might be, an athlete is a man or woman who dedicates himself or herself to the pursuit of excellence in a particular field of athletic expression. Now, that's a definition of an athlete. That's not an example. Because then someone may follow up and say, now, for example, and you say, Shaquille O'Neal. Sin is the transgression of the law. Let me say something else. We have 7 minutes to go. I'll say more about sin tonight. Please come back. You cannot sin unless you break one of the Ten Commandments. Let me say that again. You cannot sin unless you violate one of the Ten Commandments. Now, of course, in Psalm 119, verse 96, the Bible says, "Thy commandment is exceeding broad." We have no concept of how much the commandments encompass. And so we read the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," and we just automatically assume it means don't kill someone else. It also means don't kill yourself by your health habits. So when I sit in a bar pouring alcohol into my stomach like gasoline into the tank of a car, I am in violation of commandment six, "Thou shalt not kill." Because people are killed immediately or people are killed over a period of time. You cannot sin unless you violate one of the Ten Commandments. What is sin? Sin is a conscious choice to go contrary to God's clearly revealed word. All people know fornication is sin, but they do it. Unless you grew up in a jungle somewhere and saw only animals for examples, you know fornication is sin. If for no other reason, I've never known anyone to pray first before committing that sin. We know Sabbath breaking is sin. I have something else to tell you about God's law. When I come to the subject, how to read your boyfriend's mind, or your girlfriend's mind, or your professor's mind. For today, and I plead with you, come back tonight when I deal with this more fully. It is such a delicate subject, I do not want to tell you too much. The mind, however genius it may be, can only take on so much at a time to deal with. And I want to leave you with what you've heard. One, sin is a conscious choice to violate that which is known about God's will. Two, a sin of ignorance is a sin that has two components. I did not know and I had no way of knowing. Three, you can only sin by violating the Ten Commandments. Four, sin that is committed willfully incurs guilt, and God will not clear any guilty person. Guilt brings condemnation, and the condemnation is death, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not my intention through this message to depress you. But I want you to understand that sin is such a terrible thing in the eyes of God. Sin is like looking God in the face and then slapping Him. And so the world suffers and has suffered 6,000 years because of sin. I said to you that the nature with which Adam was made was fine, it was sinless. But God still had to put him in a position where he had to exercise the free moral agency, which is choose. Let me see how you choose. The nature you have, I gave to you. Let me see how you choose now. God must see it. Salvation is a matter of choice. Damnation is a matter of choice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever chooses to believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever chooses not to believe will perish and lose everlasting life. Let me tell you, the wages of sin is death. You can be walking around and be dead. Death begins while you're alive. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, "She that liveth for pleasure is dead while she liveth," or he. And so I say to you before I close, 3 minutes left to me. If you know in your heart there's some sin you're committing and you know it is wrong, all sin is wrong, you know what you're doing is wrong, I, with humility and an identification with you, all preachers of sinners, We just have a job to do that hurts us deeply because we're preaching to people when we should be preaching to ourselves. You ask any preacher, it causes tremendous agony because we're in the same boat, but we have a job to do. If you know you are engaged in something that is sin, I want you to decide right now to stop. I don't care what it is. And I say that with brotherly sympathy. I don't care what it is because I want you to live. If you know, and I know, we are engaged in an activity that is sin. No guesswork. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask us to stop. Any man, any woman who will say, Pastor, I need prayer. I'm struggling with something. It could be overeating. It could be biting your nails. I don't care what it is. I am struggling with something. I need victory. I want you to stand up. I have 2 minutes. Stand up quickly. And I'll wait until you stand. I am struggling with something. I know pride causes arthritis in the knees and we can't get up, but God will heal it in a flash. Just tell him, Lord, give me courage to stand up. I am struggling with something and I want victory, Pastor. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. You've said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Father, a prayer for deliverance from sin must be according to your will. And so we plead, and we beg, and we appeal, and we importune you, and we ask you in the name of Jesus, give us the overcoming power that we need. Lord, deliver us from that which has held us down. Please, Father, hear us. Because if we continue on this path, we are headed for destruction. And so we pray in the name of Jesus who shed his blood. Give us the power to overcome. Start now, dear Father, start now. And let us leave this place believing that victory has begun through Jesus Christ. Bring us back tonight to hear more of your word. I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Plead with God that we will not have any friendship with the works of darkness. But because of the Lord's mercy and grace and his love towards us, we would pray with all earnesty to become his sentinel, become his pure and holy vessels that he may be able to use for his good use. Loving Father, as we come tonight, we thank you for the message. We thank you for the messenger. We thank you, Father, that as we listened, you made Adam sinless. It was nothing that he worked for. It was given to him. But the avenue of choice, he was placed in a test that he had to choose whether to continue in the state of sinlessness or to go against your word. We know which he chose. And so, because of his choice, we continue in this state, suffering the effects of sin. But we indeed thank you for our elder brother, Jesus Christ, our first fruit, who came and suffered, who bled and died on our behalf, so that we might, not might, but if we choose you, we too can live that sinless life, even here on this earth. So even now, loving Father, we pray, Lord, that we will continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We will continue to shew all manner of evil. Again, Lord, we will put on the whole armor so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that we will recognize that we are in a warfare, and that we will make no parley with sin or the enemy of darkness. And Father, we will continue to cultivate a nature that is of Christ, and we allow you to be our shepherd and our guide. We will continue to plead with you with prayer and thanksgiving in perfect supplication, that your will be lived out in us. And so, dear Lord, not only will our lives will be transformed, but the lives that you will bring in our hemisphere will also be touched to look to you. Be with those on the line. Be with those who came on and left. And Father, each one, Lord, though our faces are different, the need is the same. We need you. For you said in Matthew 6:33, if we seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, everything else shall be added. So if we need house, we need finances, we need a job, we need a closer, we need you first. In order to get anything, we need you first. We need to put you first. So help each and every one of us, not just to talk about it, but may you convict our hearts so steadily that we will continue to seek after you like fine treasure. Again, thank you. Be with Brother Udi and his wife once again as they're in the Philippines. Continue to protect. We pray that the earthquakes would have stopped, the tremors also. And we pray, Father, for his safety coming back, and for Melissa, when she's ready to come back, she and Caleb, that you will bring them safely back and be with the rest of the family over there. Help us, Lord, to continue to look to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, if no one have anything to share, I will give anyone an opportunity. We will close off early tonight, but if you don't have anything to share, or if you want to share, this is your opportunity. Thanksgiving report, a prayer report, anything that you might. If not, we will close off early, and I pray that you will study the Word. Go back and study the Word. Go back and study what the preacher stated. And then, you know, have a blessed night. And if it's God's spear that he raised you to see a new day, that you will give him glory, that you would allow him to use your life. You would allow him to be the driver and you be the vehicle. Amen. Good night.
On that night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay, still a shadow. All my will, I surrender.